Hello and welcome to the episode 28 of WordFab Day. I am your host, Simon Mas. What are we covering today? There are going to be some fireworks. Rest assured, it's not going to be the usual fare of live concerts and recording sessions. Let's start with 1961, with another double feature for the Beatles. The band, featuring Pete Best on drums, had a first evening concert at the Latome Hall and a second at the Aintree Institute for another BK Promotions event. Both venues were in Liverpool. On the 28th of January 1962, the Beatles, still with Pete Best on drums, performed at Mona Best's Casbah Coffee Club in Liverpool. In 1963, the Beatles performed at another majestic ballroom. After the 14 concerts at the venue in Birkenhead, the last of which was featured in episode 17 of this podcast, the lads performed for the first time in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. The venue in Westgate Road is still standing today. After being converted to a bingo club, it was restored in 2005, and it would still be open today as the Academy if it wasn't for the lockdown on musical activities due to COVID. Let's hope for brighter days. In 1964, the Beatles enjoyed their second and last day off from the 3 weeks Olympia Theatre residence. While the first day off on the 21st of January went on without any meaningful event to register, this time George Harrison and John Lennon decided to fly back to London for the evening, attending a party hosted by DJ Tony Hall. At the party, they met Phil Spector and the Ronettes. George and John flew back to Paris on the following day. And now, the fireworks with quite a momentous day in 1969. In the morning and early afternoon, the Beatles and Billy Preston were in the Apple Studios to work on the Get Back project. The impression on the day's work is that the sessions had moved into a more positive territory once and for all. There were lots of songs in circulation, with new pieces brought to the fore by everyone, even if the project was reaching its deadline. George's Old Brown Shoes and Something, John's I Want You, She's So Heavy, Paul's Teddy Boy, were all tried out today. The band also touched on other songs, some with much less gusto than those named so far, like John's Child of Nature and George's All Things Must Pass. Some with more fire, like John and Paul's Don't Let Me Down and One After 909. This last song, as you might remember, was a rare case of a song recorded but never released by the Beatles. Dating back to the late 1950s, perhaps 1957, it had been originally recorded on the 5th of March 1963. From today's takes, including the usual carousel of jams, half-hearted covers, oldies and so on, the band chose Get Back for its next single, with Don't Let Me Down on the flip side. On the single, Get Back was edited with a fading on the long finale, which can be heard in its entirety on the end titles bit of the Let It Be film. The end of the session saw the Beatles talking among themselves, pondering questions like, when will the filming stop? How do we finish the film? Which songs shall we play? Should we attempt a serious recording, or are these just rehearsals? And does it matter? The Get Back project, evidently, was always on the brink of losing momentum and self-destruct, even after a few relatively good sessions. But this particular meeting, held in the studio, was just an appetizer for the real meeting of the day, held after the cameras had shut down and the Beatles had recovered some privacy. It was on the 28th of January 1969, in fact, that the Beatles first met Alan Klein as a group to discuss his becoming their manager to negotiate new contracts and to sort out their financial situation. In the anthology, John is quoted saying that he was the only Beatles who was ready to do something about the black financial hole that Apple had become. I announced it to the press and I said, we're going to be broke if they don't stop this game, this Apple business. But everyone wants to say, no, 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 it's all wonderful. I'm sure the others wanted it tightening up, but I don't think they were really aware of it. John, instead, was terrified to end up penniless after all the efforts they had collectively put into the band. Perhaps more terrifying for him and the other Beatles was the thought to be managed by straights, people from the business world who didn't care for and didn't know about music and art and just cared about bean counting. At some point, the band had started interviewing people that could straighten the situation, but no candidate seemed to work for one reason or another. John Lennon had met Alan Klein alone on the 26th of January. Klein was the manager of the Rolling Stones and impressed Lennon enough for him to arrange a meeting with the rest of the band. During the meeting, Klein told the Beatles that the high tax rate on their royalties, the money they received from their record sales and songwriting, put them at a disadvantage and that they needed about £2 million, about £20 million in 2020 money, just to pay their debts. He also urged them to allow him to look at their finances more closely before proceeding with a £1 million acquisition of NEMS, the company formerly owned by the late manager Brian Epstein, now managed by his brother Clive. The money would have been lent by EMI. NEMS still held a 25% stake in all the earnings of the Beatles, and the acquisition advised by Paul's soon-to-be brother-in-law Lee Eastman was seen as one of the ways to improve the money flow and the band's financial situation. Klein promised that hiring him as a manager, the band could have straightened their finances and acquired NEMS at a discount. The reactions to Klein's presentation differed. John had already decided to hire him, partly because Klein had managed to outline all the similarities between their personal histories in their previous meeting, partly because he liked the businessman's brash and plain talking, and partly because he had been the only candidate for the position to be gentle with Yoko Ono. Ringo seemed to like Klein's direct attitude too. George thought that someone was needed, and since John had already decided to hire Klein for himself and that no one else was really available, Klein would have had to do. Paul instead was upset. He thought Lee Eastman was a better man to fill the role of the band's manager and was so unimpressed with Klein to walk out of the meeting. In addition to his personal dislike, Paul had heard something about Klein's management of the Rolling Stones that didn't really seem quite right. The conclusion of the meeting opened a serious rift within the band. While no definitive decision was made, the acquisition of NEMS stalled, and John, Ringo, and George asked Alan Klein to look into and assess their financial position. For the first time, the Beatles had officially divided into two camps, with John, Ringo, and George on one side, and Paul on the other. While it was meaningful that it had happened when discussing a serious matter, it was nothing irreparable at the time. In due course, though, thanks to other factors and Klein's scheming, the situation would result in nothing good. The meeting was adjourned to the 1st of February and everyone went home. And time has come for us to adjourn What a Fab Day to our next episode. Please remember to show any appreciation you have for this podcast by suggesting it to your friends. Comments are welcome too, like any constructive criticism. In addition, you might want to visit www.simonmas.com/support if you feel like doing something more. In the episode description, you will find a link to the bibliography of the podcast with lots of Amazon affiliate links in case you wanted to help out with your Beatles shopping, and a link to a list of all the songs tried out, however briefly, during the Get Back project. For the moment, I wish you a good day and a fab continuation.
Simon Mas, music you love.